Has the idea ever come to you that perhaps Jesus of Nazareth did not really die, but that he was only in a sort of a coma of unconsciousness? But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came thereout blood and water. There need be no doubt in the mind of anybody as to the reality of the death of Jesus of Nazareth. This description that I have read to you in just this simple sentence would support the thought that actually he had died from a broken heart, that literally his heart had burst within him. Because when this spear opened his side, there came out, we read, blood and water. And if you're acquainted at all with the way in which blood will act when it is gathered together, accumulated in a pool of any sort, you will know that it divides into a thickened coagulation and a watery substance. And medical men have said that this particular description would indicate that the great blood vessel of his heart had burst while he was hanging on the cross, and that when the soldier opened his side, it was evidence that the blood had gathered there in him. In any case, the only reason I have for speaking about these things with you is that I want that you and I today should be very conscious of the fact that Jesus Christ actually, literally died for us. The death of Jesus Christ has been so commonly referred to that sometimes I think it's possible that in common familiarity with the idea, it may have lost some of its actual reality. Death, you know, is the common enemy of all men. The fear of death haunts so many persons. And mind you, death is just as real for the other person as it is for me. Now, the death of Jesus Christ is a real thing. And when I think that it was for me, I'm deeply affected. The death of Jesus Christ is usually indicated by such phrases and terms as the blood of Christ. Whenever you hear anybody speaking of the blood of Christ, they're actually talking about the dying of the Lord Jesus. When you speak about there is a fountain filled with blood, you mean that Calvary's cross, where the Lord Jesus died, is the fountain that will wash you whiter than snow. When you sing there's power in the blood, there's power, 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 power in the blood. When you sing that song, you mean that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ actually is effectual in the will of God to accomplish certain results. The blood of Christ, the cross, Calvary, all these terms referring to this same incident. In the death of Christ, the love of God can be seen for the whole world. Anybody can see it. Now, a person can talk about it, and you can use the words, but if you really want to know what it is, then just take a look at Calvary and see the dying of the Lord Jesus. Especially is this true if you will remember that this death on his part was willing. He did not have to die. Keep that in mind. Do not think of him as being a helpless victim of circumstances and being pushed into something that he didn't want. He came for this purpose. He himself said, "Mine hour is come. To this end was I born." He moved right steadily right into the very place where, so to speak, he was trapped by the enemy, and they took him captive and actually put him to death. And he himself went that way. And you'll remember when Peter was going to defend him, took out his sword and was going to fight for him. You remember how the Lord Jesus said, "Wist you not that I could ask my Father, and even now I could have 12 legions of angels?" No man took his life from him. He himself said, "No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down, I take it up." And yet in this, the very fact that he accepted this experience of dying and being separated from his Father in death would indicate the love of Christ. He died for us. What brings his death into the picture at all, and what brings any death into the picture, what brings death as a whole into the picture, is sin, our sin. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And in death, there lies our doom, our condemnation. Just as surely as we have died, then just that surely we are being, as it were, brought into the very presence of God. Now, here we can see one of the great truths of the gospel, and this is very, very important, and that is that another person can die in my place. We call that vicarious suffering or vicarious death, that the Lord Jesus actually offered himself as the Lamb of God to take my place in dying for me. We sometimes call it a substitutionary death, and that's what we mean. The Lord Jesus died in order that God might deal with me on the basis of what the Lord Jesus did, the Lord Jesus substituting himself on my behalf. We say then that this death of the Lord Jesus Christ was permitted of God, that he was permitted to die for me, and that his death and resurrection is acceptable on my behalf. Death for us, when if a man were to die, that would not be news, because men die everywhere, and it's appointed unto man once to die. It's to be accepted as universal and inevitable. The only thing that's uncertain about death is the time and the method, but that you're going to die is absolutely sure. It's only when and how that is open to conjecture. But for God to die would seem to be unthinkable, and this is what we need to remember about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God, and for him to pass through the experience of death without any, as it were, without any relief, just going there and dying like a man, for him to die seems, as I say, unthinkable. And yet this is what happened. And this brings to our minds something else, that death is not the end of any person. You see it happen in the Lord Jesus, and it won't happen to anyone else. They may not all be dedicated to be raised to him. They may not all have that experience of expecting to be brought into the presence of God, but that everyone's going to die, that will certainly be sure. But for God to die, as I have said, this is unthinkable. The death, as we have just now said again, is not the end of the person, but it is the end of fellowship here. When a person dies, so far as his friends are concerned, the friendship is broken up. And yet it's not the final stage, according to the Scripture. There are some people, of course, who focus all their attention on this life. And they would make you think that if you're going to find any values in living, you should find them now. There are people who have the feeling that between the cradle and the grave, that's where life is. When you get to the grave, it's all over. But this is not Christian. Now, it may be all over the world in various forms, but it's not Christian. The Christian idea is set forth in what is said about the Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation, when it speaks about the Lamb that was slain and is alive forevermore, because the Lord Jesus is one who died for us and was raised from the dead. We're going to be talking about the resurrection in a few days, but just now we're going to speak about the death, and we want to understand that the death was actually real. Another thing that comes to your mind when you think that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is really an illustration of death in itself would be to remember this, that death is not, as it were, a dark hole in the ground that you go down into and go into darkness. It's more like a tunnel. It is true that from our point of view, we do go into darkness in the sense that when we pass out and our eyes are shut and we pass on into another world, so far as this world is concerned, and we may seem to leave it behind, but it's not, as I say, a hole in the ground. It's like a tunnel. We go into it, that's true, but we pass through it. We don't go into it to stay there. When we enter into death, that's not the end. Death is to open up for us so that when we come out through death, we'll come into the very presence of God. Now, the human heart shrinks from death. We all understand that. Nobody likes it. Death is an enemy. And yet faith is not dismayed. Actually, we realize that while we may not like death, we know this, that death has no power. Grave has been robbed of its victory, and death has no sting because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've said, we're going to be studying that right soon, but just now I want to look one more time at the cross with you. And if you will open your Bibles, if you have them open, in chapter 19, and look at verse 28, and from there on I will say a few things to you that you can just keep in mind exactly what happened in the death. After these things, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. He knew that he had accomplished, he had finished everything there was to do in identifying himself and his work, and he was ready to go. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled it with a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the sponge, he said, It is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And you'll notice the language all the way through implies that he's doing it. He went right on through with it. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. It was, according to Jewish custom, such that a dead body should not be left exposed during the days of preparation, and they wanted to take him away, knowing now that he was going to die, and they wanted to take him away. Now, you'll notice in verse 36, these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. And again in verse 37, again another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. You'll find all the way through that the reference to scripture keeps the whole record authentic. And so we read, when all things were now accomplished, it seemed that the Lord Jesus Christ moved directly to his death. When he said, it is finished, he means, for as far as sin is concerned, it is finished. Some years ago, somebody asked me whether I didn't believe in a continuing revelation, whether I didn't believe that there'd be more and more revelation as time went by, and I said then, if you can bring the Lord Jesus Christ back to earth and let him live a little longer, then I'll have some more revelation. But when he died on Calvary's cross and said, it is finished, that ended the business as far as I am concerned. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to appreciate that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.